Scott Reed, Rush Me Nair, On the Rush. Sometimes I feel like I'm repeating myself because I say On the Rush and Rush Me Nair, and it's not Rush Me Nair, it's Rush Me Nair, and then I get all confused, and golly gee willikers, you just get me in a tongue twister.
I just say my name, man. Just say my name.
Rush Me Nair.
Scott Reed and Rush Me Nair, and we're going to bring in some more people because it's our Smart Speaker series. This is the best half hour of the show. Everything else is not smart, but this is the Smart Speaker series.
It does make you feel like that's the implication, right?
It is.
Smart Speakers, best and brightest. Otherwise, you're talking to us, wheelbarrow heads.
We're committing to it, and I'm so excited about our Smart Speaker series today. Trevor Mayo, political commentator, joining us once again. Welcome. Robert Benzie, Queen's Park Bureau Chief at the Toronto Star. Welcome.
Hey, Rashmi. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. Hey, Rob, quick question for you. How long have you been the Bureau Chief at Queen's Park now?
Longer than Doug Ford's been premier.
For sure.
A long time. Since Dalton McGuinty was premier. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So it'll be 70 years next month. All right. I remember
a long time.
You and I knew each other working back way in the days back in Ottawa, but golly, you were but a pup. Let's start with you, Rob. You are the man at Queen's Park, and you are on the spot. More details on healthcare changes coming from the Ontario government. Minister, Deputy Premier Sylvia Jones indicating that there's going to be faster and easier healthcare. Three pillars. We're going to localize it, make it more convenient, make sure that healthcare is near you. We're going to cut down on wait times and backlogs, and we're going to hire more. What's your take? Is this all happening because they want to put something on the table now, knowing that next week we're going to have this big health accord talk? Maybe they're going to get a bunch of new money. They're trying to seed the ground for saying this is where we're going to spend the money. Or are we going to see more announcements of this kind coming from the government?
I think, well, both, Scott. I think we're going to see more announcements of this kind, but I think bang on Health Minister Sylvia Jones and Premier Doug Ford wanted to do today with this by piling up. Compiling all of the things that they're doing in healthcare into one 52-page booklet was to have something in the window when they go to Ottawa next week for the first minister's meeting. I'm going to be there covering it, and I think they want to show the other premiers and the prime minister, look, we're taking action, making some innovations. Some of them are going to be controversial for sure, but they don't want anyone to say, well, you're not doing anything. You know, so I think they know there's a lot of demand from Ontarians for better healthcare, for improved healthcare access. And I think they want to show that they're doing something. And by tying all of these things together in one book and saying to the federal government, yeah, we are all in on data collection and improvements and things like that. Things that Trudeau's government wants to do, Ford's government also wants to do.
Yeah, so it's good to have some kind of a plan. Trevor, what do you make of what the Ford government is presenting?
I mean, so listen, I agree with the statement of like the status quo is not working. There needs to be innovation. There needs to be some updating. There needs to be modernization. Absolutely. But when I was reading it and I was like going through it, I'm like, okay, like some of the things sound great, but like the things that like stuck out to me, like convenient, like that to me is not the number one priority right now when our healthcare system is in crisis. Like I'm not thinking convenience. I'm thinking open, existing, operational, like just there when we need it. Like that's the code red call right in front of us right now. When you have like ERs closing, like pediatric ERs closing in certain areas of the province, like the convenience factor to me is not the biggest selling point. So I wish it would have been packaged to maybe strategize a little bit differently in a ways like where we're saying like, listen, here's the plan for staffing. Here's the plan to actually keep our system alive, not just sort of like on life support, instead of like prioritizing that you can get hemorrhoid cream from your like Shoppers Drug Mart, like pharmacist, right? Like there's some bigger, and I get it. There's more on this plan than that, but I just don't have a ton of faith in this government in terms of actually following through with some of the healthcare funding and commitments when they've just frankly just crapped it down the drain nonstop for the last few years.
Rob, you want to expand on that hemorrhoid cream comment?
I'm all behind it. No, I'm kidding.
Blue ribbon to you. Outstanding. Best in show. All right, let's move it along here before we really disintegrate. A quarter of Canadian grocery stores will not accept cash in 5 years, according to one industry report or a report about the industry. Does that bother you? Is that what you expect? Trevor, what are you thinking?
I would have thought it'd been higher. Like, yeah. I don't carry cash.
Me too.
At all. Like, I went to a drag show the other day, and you have to tip in cash, and I had to go to an ATM to take it out, and I haven't done that in so long. And then was horrified at the fees to actually take out the cash.
Wait! You were buying groceries at a drag show? You're confusing me.
No, but I just don't have cash. The only thing, time I've taken out cash.
He tips.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. I'm a good customer. And now I have like $2 $5 bills sitting in my wallet, and I have nowhere to spend them. I don't use cash anymore. I just tap my phone, I tap my watch, or I tap my card if that's what's needed. So I'm actually surprised it's so small, just because, like, frankly, even my parents are tapping now. Like, they're not carrying. They have their doomsday like wallet. If like the whole world goes down, there's like my mom has cash and a wallet hidden somewhere. But other than that, like, people just aren't using cash that I'm aware of in the same frequency.
There is always the flag, and I've heard it in journalism for years, that there is a fraction of the population that don't have bank accounts. If we think about the lowest income earners, or maybe those who rely on some kind of monthly income, that, you know, it's that they might not have a bank account, never mind credit cards or watches or some sort of technology to tap. So are we further marginalizing people if we go the cashless route, Rob?
You know what, Reshmi, you raise a very, very good point. And I've noticed this in my own life, because like nearly everyone else, the pandemic really accelerated my lack of carrying cash anymore. So there are a few transactions that I need to use cash. My 87-year-old barber on College Street, Joe, he takes cash. I give him cash. Our cleaning lady takes cash. I give her cash. But I don't have cash with me when someone approaches me, for change on the street. I'm walking along College Street. There's panhandlers I see every morning that I don't have cash. I used to have a dollar or toonie to give them. I don't even have that anymore, and I feel bad for that. And I think as we move to the cashless society, there are a lot of people, to your point, Reshmi, who don't have, you know, a tap square or a cell phone or an Apple Watch or anything like that. And I think that's, I really wonder what happens to those folks, because when fewer and fewer people are carrying cash.
Might be the small town in me, but I literally always keep $200 on me. That's like a rule.
Always?
Yeah, always try to have $200 on me. It's like a rule that my cousin pounded into my head, which is like, when you're in a jam, cash is king. So just have a little bit of cash, right? It might sit there and not be used for weeks, but like, it's like, have a little bit of cash. Your car breaks down, you need some help from somebody, you're looking for something on this, like, just whatever. A little bit of cash will kind of grease you out of a problem here.
Okay, first of all, a little bit is $200 to Scott Reed. And second of all, this man is
confident. For $30, right?
You are so confident that no one's going to jump you for 200 bones now. Like, you're just saying, I carry $200 on me every day.
Look at that sweet old man. No one's going to jump him, you know? Let's stick with money. God, I wish I'd never opened my mouth. I thought that was the point of News Talk Radio, to share your feelings and thoughts.
I applaud you. You're so confident.
Well, I'm just not, you know, I'm dumb is actually the word you're looking for. Australia's removing the monarchy from its banknotes. Should we do the same, Trevor?
Yeah, I'm down for that. I think it's something to phase
like
out.
Like, if you had $200 cash, I know you don't have any
now?
Money.
Is that what we're saying? No one wants to tap the queen.
No, I'm sort of over it. Like, it doesn't bother me. Like, Jamaica did it, Hong Kong, Trinidad and Tobago. They also they removed the monarchy off of it. Like, I'm just not that tied to it. So like, I've sort of moved on. So cool. There's a lot of other Canadians who can be tossed on our currency as we go forward.
Oh, I'm so proud of my stupid joke.
You want that King Charles Sawbuck, don't you, Rob?
You know what? I'm actually surprised that this is not a bigger deal here, Scott, because my father lives in Australia, so we talk about this kind of stuff. And the Australia has a like burgeoning Republican movement, and yet Australia has never been able to get its own flag. Like, they still have the ensign with the Southern Cross with the Union Jack in the corner, whereas we got our own flag in 1965. I'm looking out the window at Queen's Park at the one flying outside my window, and I think it's weird though that yet we still are. you know, have the queen on all of our money and you know, our $20 bills and all that. And I'm actually surprised that's not a bigger thing, because I don't think people in this country, I mean, they may like King Charles and they may be happy that he's the monarch, but I'm not sure that there's the same affinity toward him that there is toward some other folks, so, or to his mom.
We have to take a break, Robert. Sorry, but we'll make a bigger deal out of the other stories on the other side of the break. It's our Smart Speaker series with Trevor Mayo, Robert Benzi, Scott Reed, and Reshmi Nair. And now it's Reshmi Nair and Scott Reed with you here, continuing our Smart Speaker series with Trevor Mayo, political commentator, and Robert Benzi, Queen's Park Bureau Chief with the Toronto Star. Robert Benzi is tweeting during our commercial breaks, and so we need to ask you, Mr. Benzi, about what you just tweeted here. Your latest for the Toronto Star is Ontario Greens urging those certain liberals who are trying to get the Green Party leader, Mike Schreiner, to lead them. The Greens saying, hey, why don't you just come over to our side instead? And that was something that came out of my mouth, Benzi.
Oh.
Well, I know this is a story that drives Scott crazy, and he's been quite outspoken about it. But this push by a group of 40 veteran liberals to get Mike Schreiner, the Green leader, to cross the floor and join their party and then join their nascent leadership race. So some Greens today, including Schreiner's campaign manager and their second best finishing candidate, Matt Richter, who finished second in Parry Sound, Muskoka. He
the liberals are onto this.
I think the Greens just deep-sixed Rob Benzi.
My computer just crashed, guys. That's the one that runs the Zoom for the chat.
Oh, okay.
No. So we've lost the
whole thing. I'm going to call them right now.
We lost Benzi and Trey.
Oh.
And Trevor. All right. Well, we'll be right back with them in a second. We'll try to reconvene our Smart Speakers panel. Talking about that Green story, right? So a bunch of Green Party members are saying to, you know, the liberals go, hey, go, you know, like, just join us rather than try to poach our leader. Last night I was at this event and this guy, I was saying this to you off mic, this guy grabs me and says, Scott, we need you to, you know, I'm a big fan of this Mike Schreiner idea. I need you to get out there in the media and start talking it up. And I turned to him and I said, I think it's the stupidest mother scratch idea I've ever heard in my life. And a guy was kind of flabbergasted. And then other people spontaneously started coming up and going, hey, are you guys over here in the corner talking about that stupid mother scratching idea about getting Mike Schreiner to lead the Ontario Liberals? And everybody, and then no, I just backed away. It was a little bit of a this idea of I'm glad to hear the Green Party's reacting, because to me, it's like, naturally, like, I don't know how Mike Schreiner thinks this works for him with the Greens. You know, so what's he going to do? He's going to say, it's like you write you sit your family down. And you say to your wife and your kids, you go, listen, really love you, honey. Love your mom, guys. But there's a colony of women who have invited me to come and live with them. And I just need at this time some time and space to think it over.
You're making the Ontario Liberals look too good here.
And then what? A week later, you're going to come back and say, listen, I've decided I'm going to stay with you. I still love you, and I'm going to stay here. Like, the whole family's going to go, hey, Dad, hit the highway, jerk. Like, what do you expect? How are you going to work?
Does it matter, though, that he is the only Ontario Green elected? Like, he is the only Green MPP. So, I mean, the optics are he is all of the Ontario Green Party.
Well, yeah, no question. We got Trevor back. Trevor, we're still ranting about the Mike Schreiner thing. I'm like, I think it's the dumbest thing in the world. I'd like to drag him behind a car. But what's your take? Like, you know, the Green Party now is coming back and sort of ragging on the idea. I think it's going to make it awfully hard for Schreiner to say, no, I'm going to stay with the Greens, and then go back and expect that he's going to be welcomed with open arms.
Well, especially when he says he's going to be thoughtful about considering it, right? Instead of just like straight up being like, "Are you on crack? Leave me alone!" Like, this is the mission. I think this is the frustrating thing for me as a liberal, as a member of the Ontario Liberal Party, is sitting here and watching people who, frankly, did not listen to sort of the pulse of some of the people in the province before that led us into some serious dangerous places as a party. Then step out and say, "Oh, here's a quick fix. Let's chase down the person who actually did worse as a party." Result result than the Liberal Party in the last election. So for me, it's saying we have a rebuilding process going on. Like we have blood within the party right now who's interesting, who's dynamic, who is actually a completely different face of the people that were around years and years ago. That's exciting, which is what people are looking for. So for me, I'm just like, these, the architects of our previous defeat who are reaching out to someone for a quick fix, go away. Goodbye. You're not helping.
Oh, it's just so funny though. So Robert Benzies published in the Toronto Star this story that we're discussing, and we've connected with Robert, that the Greens releasing this letter, Benzie, addressing the draft Mike campaign is getting really entertaining. You know, I'm in for this. I think this story should continue.
Yeah, and I think it will, Rashmi, because, I mean, I was on the phone with Mike Schreiner when I got the letter, and I told him about the letter, which he did not know about, he said. So even though his campaign manager and his riding association president signed it, this saga is going to continue. Now, the Liberals have a convention on March 3rd March 3rd to 5th in Hamilton, so presumably Mr. Schreiner will want to make up his mind before then. Because you have four other candidates, Mitzi Hunter, Yasser Naqvi, Nathaniel Erskine-Smith, and Ted Hsu are all kicking the tires on this as well. So it's kind of just, it's very kind of surreal. And to Trevor's point, I'm not really sure how this is going to actually work in the end.
It's bananas. He's going to say no, and then he's going to be a pariah among his own and among those he said no to. And just the whole thing is a box of stupid. Lean Cuisine and Delicio are going down the drain. I mean, Lean Cuisine, I'd boil my little package of dinner. I'd say to myself, that's good. I'm going to get on a scale tomorrow morning. I'm going to see progress. And now it's gone. Trevor, is this as traumatic for you as it is for me?
I mean, I used to have Delicio, but I'm also still like rattled about the about Ragu going away a few years ago, too. So like, I feel like we're holding on to some of these things with the nostalgia.
I don't know,
but like,
man.
Realistically, though, like honestly about this, it is so unbelievably expensive to eat, specifically if you're a single person and just cooking for yourself. It is so ridiculously expensive, and maybe these things aren't the healthiest thing in the entire world, but a lot of people can't afford to put healthy food on their table. And so a Lean Cuisine for $4.50 or whatever it was, a meal, was an affordable option, specifically as things are getting out of control. So like, it is leaving a void in the marketplace for something that people desperately need right now.
Yeah, but those TV dinners, I mean, they just weren't cutting it. They're not filling enough. Like a Lean Cuisine, you need three or four of them for a meal. And when you think about the cost now.
I think you're missing the point of the Lean Cuisine strategy. And Trevor, if you weren't throwing $5 bills by the barrelful at Drag Queens, maybe you'd be able to buy yourself a sub or something.
I live in a Toronto condo. I can't fit a frozen pizza in my condo freezer. Like, I can fit an ice cube tray and that's it. So I haven't been buying any of this stuff for a while because I can't fit it.
Valid points. Yes, thank you, Trevor Mayo. Robert, final thoughts on Lean Cuisine, Delicio? Are you going to miss the frozen foods?
No, because I got to tell you, Rashmi, I my wife and I don't cook this kind of stuff, and I haven't actually eaten this kind of stuff probably since I was a university student. When I was my thing was Lipton's noodles and sauce. You remember that stuff that came in the envelope, and you it was like a sort of a Lux craft dinner. You added milk to it and microwaved it. It was disgusting, but I lived
sidekicks
on that for years.
They still exist. Don't take away my sidekicks. I love them. Thanks, guys. Trevor Mayo, political commentator. Robert Benzie, Queen's Park bureau chief at the Toronto Star, dropping some articles while he's on the Smart Speaker Series.
That guy. So
we appreciate you both. It's our Smart Speaker Series. Rashmi Nair, Scott Reed, The Rush.